Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
We sang a song earlier this morning, and it said something about when you walk into the room. You guys remember that song? I just want to just let you know that seriously, if you can just imagine when Jesus walked into the throne room on the third day, the Bible says, He told Mary, remember that? Before that, He told Mary, don't touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. He had something He had to do. And I believe that He had to take His blood and take it up and pour it on the altar. That was His mission that morning. I got to get this in there. And I can imagine, you know, the Word of God, like in Revelation, it says that He heard a voice in heaven that said, it was calling, who is worthy? Who is worthy to open the book? And the Bible says that nobody answered. There was no one that would step up. And John the Revelator began to cry, and he began to say, hey, man, there's nobody to open the book and reveal, release the seals thereof. And then the angel that was standing next to him said this. He said, hey, don't cry. Don't weep, man. Don't weep, amen. He says, the Lamb, and he called it the Lion of the tribe of Judah, has prevailed to open the book and release the seals thereof. And John says, and I turned and I looked, and I saw, as it were, a lamb that had been slain from the foundation of the earth. And he says this, that he poured his blood on the altar. And I can imagine the people in heaven began to, come on. Thou hast redeemed us to God. Thou hast paid the price. And now, that book that was so difficult could be opened. The book, the Word of God, so that it could be revealed to us, to anybody that would. And I'll tell you what. I imagine that whenever Jesus walks around up in heaven, I mean, there's an ovation going on almost everywhere He's at. Whoa, man. Wherever He, whatever He's doing, there, people are, whoa, man. Come on. Hallelujah. Man, I love this. Oh, imagine. Can you imagine when Jesus walks into a room? Can you imagine that? I do. I can see people falling on their faces, worshiping Him and bowing down. And man, and what I like about it, Jesus told us to pray, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Folks, I'm tell you something. Some of us didn't even recognize that Jesus had come into the room this morning. Do you know that? Oh, man, come on. I don't want to be that way. Lord, I don't want to be one that doesn't recognize when Jesus is in the room. Because I'm going to tell you something. He's been here all morning. Yep. He's been here all morning. Amen. The presence of God has been here all morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. Know this, He's here to heal. He's here to bandage wounds. He's here, He's here, He's here. And if you'll allow Him to, He will do that for you. Hallelujah. This morning's message is strength in His presence. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Been talking a lot about strength, and God is, I'm so convinced today that God is strengthening the body of Christ for whatever's coming up. I don't know what's coming up, but I know the kingdom of God is getting ready to invade this earth like it's never been seen before. People have not seen what God's going to do. It's just crazy. It's happening all over. It's happening in third world countries. It's happening. The kingdom of God is gaining momentum. Hallelujah. And we're part of it. Whoo. Man, I love this stuff. Oh, God. Hallelujah. A few weeks ago, I was talking about, if you guys remember, I was talking about how God could not wait to get into the temple. Do you guys remember that? How he had, how after the last nail went in, boom, boom, it's done. Next thing you know, God's, whoom, he's going in. The Bible said even the priest couldn't get in there because God was in there. He says, all right, let's have communion. Let's have church, I guess. I don't know what it is. So excited about being in the temple, being close to the people of God. Hallelujah. Could you put up, this is what God had said. Put up this scripture. Exodus chapter 25, verse 8. Check this out. Look at this scripture. And I know I've said this before, but it's a good scripture. How many of you guys like hearing scriptures over and over again? You know, it's good for you. You know that, right? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, and hearing the word of God, and hearing the word of God, and hearing the word of God. This is what God told Moses, let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. Guys, I love this. God was so anxious to dwell with the people, with his people. He said, hey, make me a temple. Make me a sanctuary, I guess. He says, that I may dwell among them. That word among, it's the word tevek, T-E-V-E-K, tevek. It's a Hebrew word. And it means to cut and insert. Hallelujah. How many of you ladies remember me telling you about this? It's the same process, kind of like when you, how many ladies have cooked a roast in this room before? Anybody ever cooked a roast? How many of you stick garlic in it? How do you get it in there? You cut and you shove that thing down in there. Is that right? Is that correct? That's tevek. That's what it is. That's what God was wanting to do. Let me in. Come on, man. I love it, man. God was so excited about it. Oh, to dwell, have the ability to dwell with my people because he has set up this way to cover sins so that he could have a place to get close. But as we know, how's it going? As we know, Moses was up in the mountain for 40 days after that. Is that right? And then what began to happen was, what's kind of typical? Moses, the man of God, was in the mountain. And I don't know, man, it's crazy. They began to play. And they went to Aaron and they told him, hey, man, we need you to make us an idol. So they took off all their gold and they gave it to Aaron. Aaron, how many of you guys know that Aaron was Moses' brother? He was in charge of the priesthood. And I don't get what he was doing. Joshua is up in the mountain with Moses and he goes, hey man, something's going on down there, man. It sounds like there's a war in the camp because Moses tells Joshua, that's not a war. That sounds like revelry. Like playing and having fun and having, and how many of you know that God thinks it's okay we have fun? Is that right? But this was different. They had created an idol. And Moses comes down and he looks and he's got these 10 commandments in his hand and he throws them down. And he looks at his brother and says, what are you doing? Can you imagine? I said, what are you doing? And I don't know if you guys get his. Have you guys ever looked at his answer before? What Aaron told his brother. He said, "Hey, we threw the gold in and out came this calf." Come on, man. What is that? What kind of answer is that, man? I said, "No, man." I said, "Lord, you should have." I don't know, man. Aaron was a little crazy, I think. I don't know. Out came this calf. And you know what? I think, did Moses believe him? Well, I guess so. I don't know. But what it did, it damaged the connection. It really did. How many of you know that sin always damages? Sin, listen, sin always, always will create damage. Always. I don't care what it is. Don't care what it looks like. It will always cause damage. That's why Jesus came. Came to deliver us from sin. Came to not only deliver us, but pay for our sin. How many know that? Can I tell you the ministry's dirty work? How many know it's dirty work? Yeah, it's kind of messy. Is that right? I think there's a scripture in Proverbs. It talks about where there's no ox in the stall, you're not getting an increase. But great increase comes with the mess that the ox makes. How many know what that's talking about? Yeah, the mess. Can I tell you that maybe sometimes ministry is a little bit messy? Is that right? It can get dirty. Is that right? I heard a story about how grapes and vineyards, they constantly have guys out there picking the vines up off the ground. How many know that? They pick up the vines because the vines have a tendency, listen to this, the vines have a tendency to grow along the ground. Do you know that? It's just normal. Gravity pulls them down and they grow along the ground. But you know that they will not produce fruit while they're growing on the ground. So they, in every vineyard, they send people in there and they pick up all the vines that are laying on the ground so they will produce fruit. While they're doing it, they've got to wash them off because the dust from the ground gets on them. If they get wet, they can get moldy and then it ruins the vine. Huh. Does that sound like us? I'm going to tell you something. If you're planning to produce fruit in the kingdom of God, you got to get away from the dust of the earth. You know what I'm saying? Remember what Jesus did to the apostles? He washed their feet. Because, you know, hey, you don't. He told Peter, hey, you don't have to take a bath here, man. I've already given you the word to give you, clean you up. But it's your feet that are in contact with the earth. They get a little dirty. I'll tell you, Jesus washed their feet. I'll tell you, ministry is a little dirty. It gets dirty. If you're wanting to get into, if you're designed to do something for the ministry for God, and you don't expect to do any, and you don't expect to get a little bit dirty in here, I'm going to tell you something. Maybe you ought to go be a baker somewhere. I'm sorry, where's Dave? Hallelujah. Come on, man. Because ministry can get dirty. You got to get in. Can I tell you that Jesus got in and got dirty? He put the filth of our sins upon him. Is that right? Got a little dirty, didn't it? Come on, man. Come on. Hallelujah. And he washed them away. He took care of everything that we needed. Whew, come on, man. So when he walks in the room, come on, man. Don't just say, hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, hallelujah. Hey, hey. When he walks in the room, honor him. We're not honoring a team up here. We are honoring the King. Hallelujah. God, hallelujah. And he said he is worth the honor. Yes, hallelujah. Yes, glory to God. Well, they made that golden calf, you know. Praise God. We'll start. I'm sorry. Exodus chapter 33, I believe. Started at verse 1. Glory to God. Folks, can I tell you, God is pushing this morning. He is pushing and pushing. Hallelujah. Because he knows the gifts that are within you that he has placed. Hallelujah. And he's saying, yield. Yield yourself to me and watch what happens. Praise God. That's free. I didn't write that down on my notes last night. I didn't say I'm going to say this. That's free. He knows the gifts that are within you, brother, sister. He knows what he's placed in there. And there's not a person in this house that he hasn't placed a gift or a series of gifts within you. Hallelujah. So get ready. Get ready. Get ready. Go after him with all your heart and all your mind. Exodus chapter 33. Moses had broken the Ten Commandments. Not him, but I mean, he'd tossed them, broke them. Got rid of it. He had to go back up on the mountain. God told him, hey, get another set of rocks, man. We'll fix you up. Hallelujah. Do it again. Yeah. Yeah. What happened was they kind of made this disconnect with God. When that happened, it really, God, you know, his, I just want to be with my people. How many of you know that God knows? But he just, I want to be with them. And but it made this disconnect. And watch this. Chapter 33, verse 1 in Exodus says this. And the Lord said unto Moses, depart and go hence, thou and the people which thou has brought up out of the land of Egypt, unto the land which I swear to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, unto thy seed will I give it. Notice that God says, get the people and get out of here, basically. You and the people that you have brought. Is that what he said? Is that what God said? Who did the bringing out? It wasn't Moses, it was God. But God's a little bit, I would say, I don't know. He's a little bit on the edge side here, wouldn't you say? Moses, get up and take them out. Verse 2 says, and I will send an angel before you, and I'll drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite, unto a land flowing with milk and honey. And then he says this, for I will not go up in the midst of you, for you are a stiff-necked people, lest I consume you in the way. Hallelujah. You see what God is telling me? I'm not going with you now. I was going to go with him. I was ready, man. I had my room fixed. I had, man, the showbread was in there. The table was in there. My hotel room was fixed and ready to go. But I'm not going with you now. You're a bunch of stiff-necked people. Is that right? How many know what a stiff-necked people is? I got a good example for you. You guys ever seen has anybody ever watched a donkey when he sits down and he doesn't want to go anywhere? That's a stiff neck. You can pull as much as you want. He's just going, well, go ahead, man. Get me up if you can. Get me out. That's an example of us. I mean, and can you imagine God calling his people? That's the way you guys are. Bunch of stiff-necked people. Praise God. He says, I will not go up in the midst of you, for you are a stiff-necked people, lest I consume you in the way. And when the people heard these evil tidings, they mourned, and no man did put on his ornaments. For the Lord had said to Moses, say to the children of Israel, you are a stiff-necked people. I will come up in the midst of you in a moment and consume thee. Therefore, now put away your ornaments from you, that I may know what to do with thee. See, God is going like this. God said, I don't know what to do with this, folks. I don't know what to do with them. I don't know what to do. Do you think God was doing it? I think God knew. I don't think God was doing it that way. I think God was saying, hey, man, tell them, I am not yet sure what I'm going to do with them because of the way they've been. And the children of Israel stripped themselves of their ornaments by the Mount of Horeb, and Moses took the tabernacle, and this is what kind of, I mean, he says, he pitched it without the camp, afar off from the camp, and called it the tabernacle of the congregation. And it came to pass that everyone that sought the Lord went out under the tabernacle of the congregation, which was outside the camp. To me, that's hurtful, man. Where God was so excited being right in the midst of them, now he is forced to sit outside the camp. And then anybody that wanted to seek the Lord had to go outside of the camp and find the Lord. I mean, my Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Lord, that we're like that. Do you know we're still like that today? Do you know that we still place God in a position where he's actually outside of our realm, where he actually wants to be inside our realm. He wants to be doing, he wants to be involved in everything that you're doing. Yeah, you might be just cooking a, making a bologna breakfast. Is that right, Greg? You might be just cooking an egg. But can I tell you that God will be involved with you if you allow him to? The Word of God says that that Enoch used to walk with God. Also says that Noah walked with God. One thing the Lord does let me do around this place, he lets me sweep the parking lot. Isn't that nice? With a broom. Doesn't take a lot of mental awareness to sweep the parking lot, does it? Is that right? Does it, Howard? You don't got to be a smart guy to sweep the parking lot, do you? But you know what I found? While I'm sweeping, I have found that God begins to talk to me. I find that because I'm not involved in this high-tech situation, God will begin to talk to me, begin to say things to me. I believe that's what Adam was doing in the garden, pulling little stuff here, moving things around. I believe God was talking to him, speaking things to him. The simplicity of what God wants to do, how he wants to talk to you, is so powerful to you if you'll just let him. If you just let him talk to you. Just shut it down. Close your mind. Just shut down your desires and allow him to speak into your lives, man. It's cool. Hallelujah. And it came to pass when Moses went out of the tabernacle that all the people rose up and stood every man in his tent door and looked after Moses until he was gone into the tabernacle. And it came to pass that as Moses entered into the tabernacle, the cloudy pillar descended and stood at the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord talked with Moses. Isn't that cool? God is always, always wanting to have conversation. Always. The Word of God says that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. As he did it then, he still wants to do that today. He wants to do it to you. And what he's done is he sent his son to die for you so that you can get closer and closer to him. So close, if you allow him, he'll dwell in you. Is that okay?
Amen.
Isn't that cool?
Yep.
God does have a way to talk to you. A real way. Jesus purchased your audience. God will never push you away. He has purchased. He has paid for you to come close to him. I love it, man. Hallelujah. It says this. And all the people saw the cloudy pillar stand at the tabernacle door, and all the people rose up and worshiped every man in his tent door. Praise God. And the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. Hallelujah. How are you like that? Face to face. You know, I believe because if you read this whole chapter, you're going to find that God tells Moses, because Moses tells him, I want to know you. I want to see you, God. Something within me is just pulling me. I just got to know you, Father. Will you show me yourself? And will you show me your glory? God, will you show me who you are, Father? And there's something about man that has this need to know more about God. And at the end of the chapter, well, you'll see that God actually tells Moses, he says, I'm going to place you in a cleft of a rock. And then I'm going to walk by you and I'll put my hand in front of you. He says, because no man can see my face and live, is what he says. So where it says here that Moses was talking face to face with God, I don't think it was where he could see his face. I believe that cloud was in there. And Moses could not actually see the face of God. But yet he could hear him. And somehow the people in the camp, some of them, could hear also what God was saying. Kind of cool. I'm going to start 11 again. It says, and the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man. Everybody say young man. If you're a young man, put your hand up. More than that in the house. Come on, young man, come on. Yeah, you're all young men. I was telling Freddie this morning, Methuselah was 969 years old. What does that make you? Young. Come on, man. Hallelujah. And his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. Can I tell you something? Something going on in Joshua's life too, is that right? So much so that he didn't want to leave the tabernacle. He wanted to hang around in there, is that right? Can I tell you where the presence of the Lord is? Man, there is joy. There is peace. There is comfort. Praise God. As in verse 12 says, and Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people. See, so Moses heads out to the tabernacle, and he's got a little thing he wants to tell God because God had said something to him, and Moses wants to bring it right back up to God. So Moses tells him this. He says, see, you say it unto me, bring this people, and you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, I know thee by name, and you have also found grace in my sight. God is saying, Moses is saying, hey, you've told me this. You said that I found grace in your sight. You haven't let me know who's going to come with me. I believe Moses was actually asking for God's presence once again. Because God had told them, I'm not going with you. I'm not going to go. And when he said that, not only did the people get really hurt, they mourned. But I think Moses ended up, hey, you're not going. I've done this with you all this way. I cannot keep going without you, God. I can't. I just can't. And you haven't told me he's going to go with you. You didn't say, well, Gabriel, Michael, the archangel. You didn't tell me, God, who's going with me? I love it. I love this. Now, therefore, I pray, if I found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, that I might find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. He's reminded him, remember, you brought them out, not me. I can't do that. It's you, God. You did that work. And then he said to him, he said, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. So God is listening to Moses, and Moses said, well, you didn't tell me he was going to go with you. And then finally God says, okay, I'll go with you. Is that cool? Pretty cool, huh? Pretty just a nice conversation with God. Okay, I'll go with you. Big baby, come on. All right, man. And Moses said to him, if your presence go not with me, carry us not up from here. And that hence, don't take us from here. If you're not going to go with us, we're not going. For wherein shall it be known here that I and thy people have found grace in thy sight? Is it not that you go with us? So shall we be separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth. And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for you have found grace in my sight, and I know you by name. Verse 18 says, he says, I beseech you, show me your glory. Here's where Moses begins to ask God, you need to show me your glory, God. I need to see it. Isn't it funny? A man who has been talking with God, saw the burning bush, saw all those things going on. This man is asking to see more of his glory. Isn't that crazy? Can I tell you something? I believe when we really get those glimpses of God, that what it does, it drives us for more. It pushes us for more. We say, God, I want to see more of you. I want to know more about you, God. Can I tell you that I can't go on old stuff anymore? I mean, I gotta say, Lord, you gotta say stuff to me. You gotta show me who you are. Lord, give me things. Lord, let me see you. I want to get closer to you and closer to you so that I recognize you every step of the way. Praise God. And I believe God places that within man, that once you catch a glimpse of his glory, you're going to go, I want more. I want more. I want more. What I had yesterday isn't good enough today. I want more for today. I want more for today. Is that right? I don't know if you're like that, but folks, I'm going to tell you, that's the way I am. I will find any excuse I can just about to see God. I will... Glory to God. Can I tell you that his presence is valuable to me? Is his presence in your life, is it valuable to you? Valuable enough to where you will stop, like Daniel, at least 3 times a day and go and find God and go seek for him and say, God, what have you got? Lord, speak to me. What's going on, God? Let's talk, Lord. Let's talk. Are you doing that? Are you allowing God to speak into your life? Or is it a one-time thing a week? Once a week? Once a month? Are you doing that at all? Oh my goodness. His presence is precious. I wrote a song. I wrote a song, and it's called In Your Secret Place. That's what it's called. And I can play it, and I've only played it for Pastor John. I ain't going to play it for nobody else. Oh, sorry. Praise God. Yeah. But it says, when I seek for you with all my heart, I'll find you. And then it says in there, it says, I know you're a God that you seem to hide yourself. How many of you know that? Sometimes it seems like God is trying to hide himself. I think he's playing hide and seek with you. Is there? I said, I know you're a God. This is what the lyrics say. I know you're a God. You seem to hide yourself. But then I wrote this. I said, but I know how to find you. I know how to find you. When I seek you with all my heart, I will find you. And folks, I want to tell you, that's all God's asking. Doesn't he say that? He says, hey, seek first the kingdom of God, and all these other things will be added to you. God knows we got to live on the planet. He knows everything about us. But the fact of the matter is, he says, I'm a very jealous God. I'm jealous. God is love. God is a consuming fire. And he's also jealous because he loves you. And he doesn't want you placing anything before him. Because he knows when you do that, you will create a place where he cannot bless you. And he loves you so much, he wants to bless you. He wants to show himself to you. So he says, seek me with all your heart and you'll find me. He don't want you running to the pastor and say, hey man, help me find God. He don't want you doing that. He wants you running to the internet. He doesn't want you going online. Google seems to be the only know-it-all nowadays. How many of you know that? Go to Google. He'll tell you how to do it. So who's that, man? Google show you. God says, if you seek me with your whole heart, I'm going to say that to you one more time. If you'll seek me with your whole heart, you will find me. That's what he says. If you seek me with your whole heart, you'll find me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Do you know that his presence is powerful? They put up Psalm 139, verse 7. And you can't get away from it. David wrote this in a psalm. He said, where shall I go from your spirit? Or where shall I flee from your presence? He says, Can I go into the deepest part of the earth or the highest part of heaven? He says, you'll be there no matter what. Next verse, Jeremiah 5:22. This is what God says, don't you fear me? Fear ye not me? I love this, man. Saith the Lord, will you not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree that it cannot pass. And though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet they cannot prevail. Though they roar, yet they cannot pass over it. He says he placed that by his presence. Praise God. Hallelujah. Nahum, chapter 1, verse 5. I don't know if you know what Nahum means. It means comfort. You guys like the book of Nahum? Actually, the city that Jesus and they visited that was next to the Sea of Galilee is Capernaum. Actually, that word Capernaum means village of comfort. It's got Nahum in it. Capernaum. I don't know how to say it in the Greek, in the Hebrew, but Capernaum. I don't know. But and this is what Nahum said. He says, the mountains quake at him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned up at his what? At his presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein at his presence. And can I tell you this morning, he's in the building right now. His presence is here right now. The powerful, unimaginable God. His presence is in this building. Isn't that sweet? How good is God? Hallelujah. Man. Oh, Lord, when you walk into the room. Isaiah 63, 7 through 9. I want you to look at this. Oh, you know what? But not that one. Can I get you to go Psalm 95, 2 and Psalm 102 right after that? So how do you get to the presence of God? How do you approach God? How do you, this is the scriptures. David tells us, if there was anybody that could tell us, because David was a musician, he was a master musician, he would love to worship God with his instrument. And he said, this is how you approach God. He said, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And then he says in chapter 100, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with what?
Singing.
Hallelujah. Do you know God likes songs? He likes for you to be singing a song. How many of you sing at home? Everybody that sings at home, raise your hand. Okay. How many of you sing in the shower? You know what I'm going to ask this? Who doesn't sing at all? You got a gift. Yeah. Come on, man. Come on, man. It's crazy. God wants us to come before him with singing, rejoicing, thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And folks, I'm hoping that the complexion of this church will change a little bit. Right now, I love it. But I really think that, man, as we come in, man, there should be an excitement about the King coming in and dwelling with us. You know what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Coming in and you know what? People laid out on the floor. I asked Pastor John earlier, hey, there's a guy in the nursery. He's laid out, man. Who is he? He goes, I don't know. I'll go check. He goes over there. There's a big teddy bear in there. It was laying on the floor. I said, yeah, man. I said, maybe we got to bring him up front and give you an example. Hallelujah. Praising God, worshiping God. Come on. Glory to God. I love Jesus. I love you, Lord. Amen. Isaiah 63, 7 through 9. Check this out. Who is the presence of God? So I will mention the loving kindness. This is Isaiah. I will mention the loving kindness of the Lord and the praise of the Lord according to all the Lord has bestowed on us. And their great goodness toward the house of Israel. Does that mean, is God good? Great good. Not just good, he's great. He's got great goodness. And you know how we know we're the house of Israel? We are children, daughters, sons and daughters by faith. The faith of Abraham makes us children of Israel. And he says this, how great is his goodness toward the house of Israel, which he has bestowed on them, according to his mercy, according to the multitude of his loving kindness. For he said, surely they are my people. Look, I'm looking at you guys and I say, surely you're his people. You belong to him. How many? Praise God. Surely they are my people. Children that will not lie. Praise God. Amen? Amen. Everybody say amen to that. Come on, man. I'm not lying. Praise God. So he was there what? Oh, he loved you so much, man, he became your Savior. Verse 9 says, in all their affliction, he was afflicted. And the angel of his presence saved them. Who's he talking about, folks? His name is Jesus, the angel of his presence. Jesus, the spirit of his presence. In his love and in his pity, he redeemed them. Hallelujah. Had a young man send me a text this morning. He said, well, you are redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I said, yeah, I am. Praise God. I will not lie. I'm redeemed. He redeemed them and he bare them and carried them all the days of old. Jesus will carry you and carry you and carry you. Isn't that right, Frank? Isn't that right? My nephew was in the hospital last week. They thought he had a heart attack. When they got in there, looked at him, not a thing. Praise God. He about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, standing right there by the sound booth, he gave his heart to the Lord. So when I was in the hospital praying for him, I said, man, ain't nothing wrong with you, man. You're just taking a day off here, man. Come on, man. Isn't that right, Frank? Come on, brother. Mijo, my son. Mijo. Jesus. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. So therefore, repent. How many here? How many like that word? Repent. All it is 180-degree turn from where the way you were going and turn towards God. Repent and be converted. Come on, man. I like this. Isn't that right? Come on, man. Isn't that right? ABC, bro. Isn't that right? ABC, admit, believe, convert. Hallelujah. Repent, therefore, and be converted that your sins may be blotted out when times of refreshing shall come from the presence of God. Hallelujah. How many know we need times of refreshing? Can I tell you we need times of refreshing? I could use it right now. I'm getting it right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. I'm gonna fall down here, man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Repent. Repent. Stop doing what you've been doing. Turn away from it. There is no value in the thing that is contrary to God. Don't allow it to have any more room in your life. Just say, you're done, bro. You're out of here. Kick it to the curb. Is that right? Get rid of it. Never again in my house. As for me in my house, I'll serve the Lord. Praise God. Be converted. Accept Jesus into your life. Say, God, come into my life. Wash me and cleanse me. Make me whole. Make me clean. And then go out and tell somebody, I gave my heart to Jesus. Praise God. Sometimes that can be the hardest part. Is that right? When I went to the mine, though, after I gave my heart to Christ, hey, come here, man. They almost banned me from some of the places. Will you shut your guy up? Man, is he working? Well, he's working, but he's doing an awful lot of talking. Praise God. Confess. ABC. Admit. Believe that Jesus died for your sins. And then confess your sins. Say, Lord, I'm sorry. Wash me, cleanse me, make me whole. Show me, show me, show me, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. I'm liking this sermon. I don't know why. Amen. I am. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. 2:30 in the morning, I say, I ain't got much, Lord, but we're going to do it, man. Hallelujah. You know, he says that his strength is made perfect in what? Weakness. That's why I'm almost falling over up here. Praise God. Thank you, Lord, for that. Oh, God. Psalm 16:11 says this. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures evermore. Where his presence at? Where's joy at? In his presence. And then I didn't give it to the guys, but Nehemiah 8:10 says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. So if you need strength, the place to go is into the presence of God, and God will give you a time of refreshing, and you'll be amazed how strong you are, hallelujah, because you've been with the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to give Psalm 17, verse 2. We're almost done, folks, so bear with me. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven. Do you see that? Grab treasures that are from heaven. And I'll tell you where you're going to get them from. You're going to get them out of the Word of God. You're going to get, God will give you these treasures. Is that okay? Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust does corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. And then verse 21 says this, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Can I just tell you something? That the presence of the Lord should be a treasure in every one of our lives. Every one of us should say, man, God, your presence is so precious to me. There's nothing like your presence, Lord. In it, I'm refreshed. In it, I receive peace, love, and joy. God, there's nothing on earth like your presence. How many of you say amen to that? Amen. How there's nothing like his presence. Go to Psalm 84. And I was just going to give one scripture out of this, but as I read it this morning, I began to weep and I began to say, God, you are so good. And the word amiable means how loved or well-beloved. And it says this, how amiable are your tabernacle, Lord of hosts. How many love the presence of God? I mean, you can call a tabernacle the church, but he's not talking about the church. He's talking about God's presence. He really is. How amiable are your tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longs, yea, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow has found a house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young. Even your altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. I'm wondering if David's looking around inside the temple and he says, hey, man, there's a bird over there, there's a swallow over there. Man, they found a nice place. They're in his temple. They are living in his temple, and has given him an example of what he's asking God for. O Lord of hosts, my King and my God, blessed are they that dwell in your house. They will be still praising thee. Selah means to stop and consider what has just been said. They that dwell in your house, they will still be praising thee. Can I tell you that? Can I speak that to you? Spend time in his presence and you will praise him. You, even though things around you might be going horrible, you're going to be praising God because you've been in the temple of God. You've been in the presence of God and he strengthens you, and it's really cool. Blessed is the man whose strength is in you, Lord, in whose heart are the ways of them, those birds, wanting to stay in the house of God like Joshua wanted to stay in the temple. Who passing through the valley of Baca, make it a well. The rain also fills the pools. I like this statement right here because when there's no water and you're thirsty for God's water, it's important that you know where to go. But it says here, passing through this valley, is the Baca Valley is in Israel. It's the real, there is a real valley. And he says, he digs a well. And then the rain, the blessing of God begins to fill that pool. Oh, man, I love it. They go from, listen to this, strength to strength. Every one of them in Zion appears before God. O Lord, our God of hosts, hear my prayer. Give ear, O Lord, God of Jacob. Selah. Behold, O God, our shield, and look upon the face of your anointed. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. Is that right? Man, I'll tell you what. I had rather be a doorkeeper in the house of God than to dwell in tents of wickedness. Is that true? Come on, man. I'd rather be a doorkeeper. Man, like God, I'll watch the door for you, Lord. And then he says this, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. O Lord of hosts, blessed is the man or woman that trusts in you. The presence of God. strength will be found in his presence. When you get yourself into the presence of God, there is, once you're there, there is no way that you can walk out without being strengthened. Because God, that's just the way he is. When you get there, you're going to find that he just strengthened you. You'll find it. You'll find strength for the battle, strength for whatever's going on, strength for whatever. Do like Daniel. 3 times a day. Give it more. Go after him more and more and more and more. And watch. Let's see what happens. Because I'll tell you, folks, God is doing a work. He is calling his people into his presence so they can be strengthened and built up so he can do what he needs to do in the earth. And I'll tell you something, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about what you guys are going to be doing. I'm excited about the men that are going to be preaching in here. Hey, can I preach? Yeah, come on, let's do it. I'm excited about the ladies. Hey, can I preach? Yeah, come on, let's do it. I like it. Is that okay? Is it okay if I say a woman can preach up here?
Yes.
Is that okay? Come on, man. Hallelujah. Come on. Hey, listen, listen. Because I believe with all my heart. Listen. They died at the cross with Jesus. And it is now, got to get out of that humming bone. And it is now the Spirit of God that dwells in them. That makes the difference. That's where in Apostle Paul says, there's neither Greek nor Jew, male or female, but all in Christ. Amen. And that's why I'm telling you, ladies, you can preach. I believe it. I'm not one of those say, well, the apostle said, well, you know, don't let the women usurp the authority over the church. Come on, man. Come on, man. Look at what the work that Jesus has done and say, hey, man, I'm with it. There is no difference in the kingdom of God. Praise God. Bring that on you right at the end. Huh? Come on, stand up. Hallelujah. Let's go. Let's pray. Listen, for those of you that heard that word, sometimes when you hear the word repent and when you hear, you know, convert, I mean, I'm going to say, I believe that the Holy Spirit knows who he's talking to when he's talking. And so if you felt that, I mean, you know what? I would advise you, I would just say, hey, let us pray with you. If you sense a need that you say, I want to get right with God, I say, yeah, I would let us pray with you. Let us help you. Let us give you some things to help you continue to move forward, okay? But let's pray right now. As we go out of the house, I'm going to ask you that this week, touch somebody for the kingdom of God. Will you do that this morning? Will you do that? Even do that today. As you leave here, you go down a Safeway, you go down, you know, go to eat the lunch, go eat you're at the restaurant. Say something for the kingdom of God. Help somebody today, okay? So, Father, I just thank you for your people, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you would, Father God, lead and guide and direct them, Father God. Lord, let them, we've been in your presence all morning, Lord. Father God, as they go out, Father God, just as Peter, while he walked and his shadow was falling and touching people, they were healed. Father, I don't think it was a shadow, Lord. I believe it was your presence. As he walked, your presence was touching folks, Lord. So I'm asking you, Father God, as your people, we've been in your presence all morning. Lord, as they go out, Lord, let that presence touch the world that don't know you, the hurting that don't know you, Father. I thank you for it. I praise you for it. Bless, speak to your people, Lord, all week long in the name of Jesus, I pray. And I thank you for it, God. If you guys agree, say amen. Amen. Praise God. Thank you guys for coming to the church. Thank you for being here this morning. Appreciate you. Glory to God.